ladies and gentlemen, we are back at it. And thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval, of course. And before we hop in with our very special guest today, I want to encourage you because we've had a reconfiguring over at Apple Music. Of course, you could stream this podcast wherever you can stream podcasts, but I want you to resubscribe at Apple Music. A few months ago, I guess, there was a reconsideration or a reconfiguration of the pod. So go to the Corner Store and then my name, Kevin Koval, and you will find us there streaming. And please subscribe and rate and, you know, tell people to tune in. We've had some great, great guests, and today is no different. This young MC is on a tear, really putting a lot of MCs and their feelings because the bars are that nice. Brittany Carter is, of course, from the greatest city in the world and has a brand new project out called As I Am, and she's in the Corner Store. Brittany Carter, welcome in to the Corner Store.
What's good? How are you?
Great. I'm excited to be talking to you, and congratulations on this fantastic first project.
Thank you.
does it feel like, I know you've put things into the world before, but is it fair to say that this is kind of your first, like, this is me?
This is the first project. It's been really cool. I'm just glad to have it out finally.
It hasn't been out for that long, and so it's still very new, but what's some of the feedback, and what are some of the cooler things that's happening that maybe you could talk about since it's been put out?
More so just connecting with people like all over the world. Like I wasn't really aware that there were people like in other countries that were listening. And so I tuned in just to different platforms to see who was listening. And then like my following, you know, grew from it. And so I've been able to talk to people just from all over the world about how they feel about it. So that's been like the coolest part.
No, that's really cool. And you know, the process of making this project, I mean, of course you put it out at a you know, the time of COVID and the time of in shelter, and you know, normally we'd be going to see you perform this record. And so, you know, what were the considerations of putting it out when you did, and even the process of building it, you know, during this time? What were some of the things that you had to do to put out, you know, a project period, but such a really dope and important first project?
Well, I had majority of the project finished, like really early on in the year. It was mostly me figuring out about videos, like how was I going to record the videos during COVID. So that was really crazy. We had to keep it like really small and compact, and you know, make sure we were following all the guidelines if there were going to be a certain amount of people. But the most that I had to do, honestly, was the videos and trying to do a safe listening party. So that was real hectic, but it was fun.
Right.
It was hectic, but it was cool.
And that happened in Hyde Park, right? You had a few different rotations of people into that space, right?
Yeah, we had three different listening sessions. And after each session, we would just have to clean and wipe everything down. We provided masks for everybody. So it was really cool.
No, that's really cool. Well, congrats. So let's talk about the record. As I Am feels very much like an introduction. You know, it does feel like, you know, like, you know, when Jay says at the top of his public service announcement, allow me to reintroduce myself, it feels like this is that, like an introduction for you to the world. What are some of the things that you really want people to get out of this project?
I guess mostly that I'm just a fan of music and not just hip hop. Like the one track I have running, I just let Olive do her thing. I wanted so badly to hop on it, but it just felt so right. I'm just like, no, like this is perfect. I'm like, I'm gonna strip all my vocals from here, and I just gotta let Olive have this. But yeah, I just want people to take from it that I'm just a lover of hip hop, man. Like I love the music, and it's just a blessing to be able to create a body of work that people actually listen and sit with. Because I, you know, I've done it for so many artists that I admire, and you know,
yeah,
it's really tight.
It was really nice to see and hear, of course, so many collabs on this project with Olive, who is a friend of the program and someone that we admire and really love her work. Yeah, what is that? I mean, you guys are a great team. You know, and you guys obviously do a very different thing, but also complement each other really well. I know, of course, you're... Yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I've been wanting to work with Olive for, like, years. Like, we didn't know each other. And I was just like, man, I have to meet this girl. Like, I seen her sing somewhere. I forget where it was. Maybe Pilsen. I seen her sing live. And I was like, yo, okay. I don't know how I'm going to meet her, but we're going to make this happen. And just so happened, years later, we joined the same collective. And the first joint we did together was the, I want to say, the Fall For You joint I wrote for her. And that went exceptionally well. I wasn't really sure how it was going to go, but in the studio, oh man, it was just watching her record was just crazy.
Yeah.
And so from there, I'm just like, hold on. Like, maybe I can see if we can actually like create some stuff together. And so that's what we were doing. The Code Is Us. And that was like pretty much our first time like really working together.
It's really exciting. I mean, there is a magic there between the two of you. And as you alluded to, you guys are part of Loop Theory, which is a collective here in Chicago. Shout out the homie Navarro. And tell us about how you came into that collective and what is it?
It's just a collective of homies. Like, we're all just friends. I actually met everybody in the collective like separately. So that's also a funny story. I met Kenneth through AdTu. I met Dre Isaiah through AdTu. I met Navarro through Kenneth. I met Arrington while in another situation. I was thinking about joining another collective, like maybe some years ago, about 3 years ago. And that's how I met Arrington Porter. And yeah, like, we all kind of just came together over time. I eventually met Olive later on, maybe like 6 months later. And we everyone has the same work ethic, and we work well together, and it just made sense.
And it's a collective. Is it a label? What I mean when you say collective? What? Because I know you guys are doing a lot of things and putting a lot of work out into the world.
I think eventually Navarro wants to have it as like a label management, but for right now, I mean, we're all just homies, just working together, just helping each other out.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a label, but yeah, we're just in the beginning of things, figuring things out.
Yeah, well, everything that as a collective you guys are putting out is really very dope, which is no surprise given who is there. And of course, you know, under the anything with Navarro is you know, a treasure, I think. Yeah. Too. So let's go back. So one of the things that stands out on this record is your pen, you know, like you know, that mixed with your voice, like all of these beats are, you know, you are doing the work of, you know, you have a kind of melodic, almost monotone. It's like, oh, it's almost like the other side of the Rakim coin is what it feels like. You know what I mean? And Rakim's one of my favorite lyricists and musicians of all time. But so I want to go back just to when you began writing, or when did you start to take yourself serious as a writer?
Oh man, probably with this project, honestly.
Really?
Honestly, that's how I feel. I mean, I know there were things that led up to me getting to this point, but I I'm very critical of myself. So one thing I will say that I don't really have like a community of writers around. So I always felt like there had to be some type of structure like to my writing. And I mean, for the most part, of course it is. But as far as like poetry goes, I'm not like I don't know. I've never like viewed myself as like this great, you know, writer or whatever. And with this project, I had scrapped the project before. Like, I was working on something completely different before As I Am. It was about like 5 tracks. I can't even remember the names of them, but I was working on like some tracks, and they just weren't like meeting up to the standard that I had. And I was just like, yo, like I have to scrap all of this. I have to start fresh. And right when I made the decision, it was so cool because that's when I got connected to Scud One. I had no idea who he was, never met him before. He sent me an email with all of these like instrumentals, and I'm like, oh shit, like I think this dude like knows me, what the fuck. So it felt really cool. So I'm just like, oh okay, I think I'm gonna, if he's down with it, I'm gonna ask him if I can use these to like start a new project. And so I hit him up and he was just like, sure. And I was like, oh, okay, this works perfectly. And he pretty much produced a large number of the tracks, like, for the project.
And he sent them to you out of the blue, or you all had been in tune?
Out of the blue. I think he was following me on IG, but I didn't know who he was. Like, I didn't know that he knew, like, some of the people I knew. I had never seen him before. And so I was just like, open up the email, seeing all these instrumentals. I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna give these a try. And like every single one I went to, I'm just like, oh, okay, this is different. So
that's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. That doesn't, I mean, in some way, I think that that's the dream for an artist, but I think a rarity in that regard. I know people obviously connect a lot through the internet, obviously, but that's dope that y'all linked that way.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you a number of years ago, even before the Set It Off Cypher, you know, which was like, which had like an impact here in Chicago, certainly, and beyond. I mean, that still has, I think, a lot of views. I watched it actually like a few weeks ago, just, and it still goes. But I remember, like, even, you know, even then, which that's probably going on like 5 years ago or more at this point, something like that.
And it was like I think like late 2015 or early 2015. I think when I first like was aware of Young Chicago Authors, that was like my first time ever being in the space.
Right. So you were nice with the pen then, right? So that's, you know, a good amount of time. I think so, in my humble opinion. And had something, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm not saying, like, you know, of course, like, we always want to grow. That's part of our job. I think if you're going to make a life in the arts, you have to love perfecting your craft. And that perfection is really always ahead of you. It's never done. You know, you're always tinkering and getting iller and iller, hopefully. But even then, you know, I think that those around, like, saw something, heard something in you, both the voice, but also I think the pen. So how did you even like come to start rhyming, I guess?
Man, I wish it was a series of things that led up into that. I know growing up, I had a cousin and he would always tell me like, yo, like, you should try rapping, because he knew I would write poetry. And I'm just like, yo, like, no, it's not really my lane. I'm just going to stick to what I do, because he would rap back in the day. And I didn't do anything music related up until I came to YCA, and so I got connected with like other MCs and other writers. SC came up to me one day after like I had performed a poem, because I wasn't doing music at that point either. I didn't have anything on SoundCloud, nothing. So SC came up to me and was like, "Hey, I want to do an all women's rap cipher. Let's do it." And so I'm just like, "I don't know, but cool. I'll like put my name on this list." And yeah, man, it ended up like she sent us the instrumental and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I have no idea like what I want to say, how this is going to go. And so I wrote the 16 and like the entire time I was like, man, like I'm so self-conscious. Like, I don't really know if this is good enough. Like, does this meet the standard? And we ended up recording it at you guys' space at Young Chicago's Arthur. And it went well. Like, I didn't really expect it to go viral. I didn't really have any expectations, really. But yeah, man, we put it online and people like loved it. And I was just like, oh, so I can do this. This is possible.
Yeah. Was that your first time saying that to yourself? Like, you had, okay, yeah. You had a glimpse. Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, the entire time we were recording, I was just thinking to myself, like, I don't know how this is going to sound or look to other people. This, I had never recorded anything. Like, I'd never been in the studio. It was all very new.
I remember when that video dropped, and it was very exciting because it like hurt people's feelings how good it was, you know what I mean? And I think you continue to do that. You mentioned growing up, so where did you grow up?
So I was born in Evergreen Park, and I pretty much stayed in this area like my whole life. So in between like Calumet Park and Blue Island, like just in that area.
So for those who might not be familiar, and for folks who particularly are outside of Chicago, what's that area or what's that community like, and what was it like for you coming up?
So I grew up in Evergreen Park, but I was a baby. I barely like remember anything. we moved to Blue Island, and back in the day, it was mostly Hispanic and Blacks, majority Hispanics. Now, because I still live in Blue Island now, now it's mostly mixed. So it's, you see mostly Hispanics and Blacks, like, you know, cohabitating. But yeah, that's pretty much how it was. Calumet Park is mostly a Black area. And yeah, that's where I grew up.
And what kind of kid were you? Were you into the arts? I mean, you said you were writing poetry. So how did you come, like, who put you on to writing poetry? Is that through school, through your parents?
It was just something that I did on my own. So my mom got me a journal, like, really young. And so I would spend a lot of my time just writing about my day. I didn't start writing poetry maybe until high school. But it was nothing I ever shared with anyone. So it was just something I would do on my own. Kind of like tuck the notebook away in my bag and keep it moving.
Yeah. Your mom got you a journal, which is really dope. What does she do? What do your folks do?
My mom, she owns a daycare. Yeah, she owns a daycare center. And so that's what my mom does. She's been doing that for years. Wow. She's also a foster mom. So we're always have kids around. So that's super dope.
Oh, wow. So what was that like coming up with like, I don't know, what I imagine almost like a revolving door of folk?
It was really cool. My mom just loves kids. So it didn't really, faze me any. I have a lot of siblings. So
how many siblings do you have?
Oh, man, it's about like 8 of us.
Not including foster folks.
Not including.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. Where are you in the mix?
I'm the oldest.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So, you are responsible for a lot of people then, right? As the oldest in a way.
Yeah. A few of my siblings are on my dad's side of the family. So I didn't like grow up in the same household as everyone. But yeah, there's quite a few of us, so it's really cool being the oldest.
what do they think about what you're up to now? What do they think about this project and that their biggest sister is a rapper?
Man, you're the best rapper in the city. Oh my God, I can't believe it. They're like my biggest fans. Honestly, my family is my biggest fans.
Your parents too. They're cool with you.
Oh man, like they. My dad is like. He's like a super fan. He's very proud.
That's great.
Because my dad is the one who introduced me into, you know, all of the music that I love, all of the artists that I love. It all stemmed from like my dad. So
who did he introduce you to, and who are some of the folks that you've come to, you know, be fond of and maybe even be influenced by?
Oh man, so I remember my 8th birthday. I got like he got me like this like my very first stereo that was mine. So I'm just like, oh yeah, like I'm about to be listening to music all day. And the first CD he got me was a TLC CD, which was the Crazy Sexy Cool joint. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Did you have a favorite of the three?
Of course I did. It was Left Eye. You already
know. Yeah, right. I was gonna say, right.
My dad is a huge Jay-Z fan. So, of course, yeah, Jay-Z, Nas, Andre 3000, Erykah Badu, my dad put me onto it all.
Wow, it must be then a very proud and special moment for him.
Yeah.
I bet, I could imagine.
Oh, yeah. He's so happy.
Does he in particular, because he's such a fan of the music and obviously like knows his music, does he ever pull you aside or call you and be like, yo, I think you should say, or does he give you advice about the music?
Not really. The most that he does is like we're around the house and he'll randomly just start rapping lines. And I'm just like looking at him like, stop, please.
Is he trying to get on a record or what's going on?
He's just like repeating lines, like he won't even like none of the current stuff. He'll be like rapping lines from stuff I have on SoundCloud from like years ago, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, stop this.
That's really cute, though. That's really funny. So it's interesting. So you of course you kind of progressed in a short period of time. I remember there was a moment where you opened for TDE, which was something, if I'm not mistaken, right? Something that happened through the internets. That seems like a big moment in your career, which is a few years ago at this time, though, right?
Yeah. This was, I want to say, 2018. And I didn't have anything on any platform. So the fact that I was able to do that was wild. Didn't really think it was possible. I don't know how. And maybe it was because of the videos that I was putting out on IG and just releasing those every month. I think like 1 month I did like all Dilla for like, I think like every week. I was on a video like every week. And I think that maybe that was one of the reasons, you know, it picked up traction. But I didn't have like anything else. So it was a very, very funny moment.
Right. So I'll ask about that experience. But the visual component of the music has been something that's been important to you for a long time. Did you spend a lot of time looking at music videos, or what about the visual is so important to you?
So how this all started, I was playing around on YouTube and I found some beats that I really enjoyed. And I'm like, yo, I'm just going to like rap over these and see how it goes. And I was doing that for a while. And this was way before anybody was like actually viewing the videos. And my boyfriend tells me like, hey, like, why don't you film these in like better lighting? Like, what if we like do something outside? I think they'll go over better. And so I'm just like, okay, let's try it. So the first one we did was like, I think over the Heart Part 2 by Kendrick. And we had did it like right here in my living room. And that was like the first one that like really got traction. And I'm just like, oh. Like, I had been doing videos for, like, before that, but this is, like, the first one that actually got, like, that went viral. And I was just like, oh, okay, so maybe he was on to something. And so from that point on, we would just, like, pick different locations for the videos, and that's just kind of how, like, people got wind of me.
Dope, right. So that progressed, and so you opened, the TDE show was where? Was that at the Congress, or where was that?
The Concord Hall.
Concord Hall, that's right. That must have been an incredible. That's also like in some ways like at the height of TDE reign, and of course they're still going and making incredible music. But what was that like to open or be a part of that show?
Oh man, like usually I'll say usually before shows I'm like super nervous, but it felt so comfortable. I was just like, oh shit, like this is tight as fuck. Like it was just because I'm a fan of all of their artists. And so it was just like, damn, like this is like really a 360 moment. And I was kind of taken aback, but it was really like fucking tight at the same time.
Nice. And so that, you know, that's like a kind of a peek into an aspect of the industry. You just put out this record. It's 2020. We are, you know, 9-10 months in into a pandemic. As an independent artist, where do you want to be headed? Where do you want to go? Like, what are the things that you put out this project? People are now starting to pay more and more attention. Your followers are going up. What are some of the things that you are kind of striving for in the next, you know, tomorrow, in the next few years?
Honestly, it's nothing like super big. You know what I mean? But I think with this project, it's given me like a bit more confidence as to like what I can actually accomplish. But I would, of course, I want to be like more financially stable, but also I want to like write books. I want to do movies. I want to do it all. I don't want to just, stick to music. Like I want to get as much music as I can out, but I want to get my pen into other things as well. So I'm looking forward to doing all types of stuff.
And that's which is very exciting to hear. Do you want to entertain and have conversations with labels? Are you kind of dedicated to stay independent? Like how do you foresee putting out music in the next, you know, the next time around, next bunch of years?
I'm not against the idea of talking with the label, but it has to be the right situation. I really don't like the idea of me having to ask permission when I can drop music. So that's like a huge turnoff. But I mean, I'm not against it. It just would have to make sense for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now I'm just going to stick with the independent route. It's been working for me, and stay this way.
And do you put out a project and kind of take a break, or are you kind of actively on to the next? Like, what where are you at in terms of your practice and process with making music?
Man, I feel like I'm still learning a lot, but I'm working on music. I just can't stop. I'm working on music right now. I don't know when, you know, the next drop or when the release is, but I just want to keep, like, the creative process going for me. I don't want to get, like, too comfortable and, you know, too lazy or whatever. So I'm still creating music right now, but my main goal is to, like, push this project as far as we can go. Like, I don't want to, I put so much time in it. I don't want to just a month out and it's just like, yeah, I'm just moving on to the next thing. Like, I sacrificed a lot. And so I'm just like, I got to push this as far as it can go.
Yeah, no, good. Which is exciting. And it's exciting that you're working. That's exciting for people who like to listen to your music. I want to end with just a few questions. I mean, you're of course a part of Loop Theory, which is a collective in Chicago of very talented artists and musicians. When you look around at the Chicago landscape too now, who are your peers? Like, who are some of the people that you are checking for or excited about? You mentioned some of the members of the collective. Online, I see you and Asar chatting, and, you know, there's like, you know, and there is like a class that we had him on the show recently, and in my mind, like, you all represent this kind of new generation of Chicago cool and Chicago hip hop in some ways. I wonder if you see it like that at all, and if you do or if you don't, who are your peers, or who are some of the people in the city that you're checking for?
Oh man, of course, like you just said, Asar. I'm a fan of Asar.
Good guy too.
I love Ro Marsalis, amazing producer. Amazing. I plan on working with him more in the future. Go Haze, of course. I'm a huge fan of Saba. I have Mick Jenkins. I have yet to, like, cross paths with them yet, but yeah, I'm looking forward to actually creating things with them.
Those would be good collabs.
I'm a huge fan of Raven, Raven Lane. So those are, yeah, those are the people I'm just like, okay, these are the people I want to connect with and work with.
That's very dope. Yeah, all would be incredible collabs. And then at the industry as a whole, we're at kind of, you know, it's been a really powerful year for music. I think I wonder if some of what happened is that just people have had time and, you know, a re-pivoting to the craft. There's just been so many incredible records by talented lyricists, you know? And so I wonder, like, when you look at the industry, who are some of the people that you're excited about, that you see yourself in, you know, alignment with, or peer or comrades with, you know, who are some of the people that are exciting you?
I feel like this question is so difficult because, like, I listen to a lot of old stuff. I really like Deontay Hitchcock. I would love to create with him. Yeah, a lot of the artists are old people. Which is funny. A lot of my friends are a bit older than me, but it's usually because I try to learn something from them that I feel like this generation may be missing a little bit. And so that's one of the reasons I listen to a lot of old old music. The crazy part is I don't think I'm really, like, too familiar, like, with you know, anybody, like, in the industry that may be, like, around my age. Like, I know, like, a lot of underground, you know, artists that I think that will be huge, like, in the next few years, you know. And so I think that just things are changing. Like you said, people have time to sit at home and, like, actually listen to the words, you know. People can't, like, aren't really out partying like that. So I think, you know, people are taking a break from that right now and, like, revisiting, like, you know, things with substance.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's been a great year for those artists too, right? I mean, Nas had a big record this year. Black Thought has had stays crushing everything. And, you know, his projects this year, it's been a great year for lyrics, I think.
Yeah, it has been. It's been really cool. I've consumed so much music because I've had so much time.
Well, and honestly, like, your project is a part of that, I think, you know, and it stands in this moment. And I think it represents, hopefully, a pivot, you know, toward, you know, the more almost like literary side of a very funky dance music. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you all, like, it's, you know, you and folks who take that kind of time with the lyric, you know, the beats and the rhythm still moves you. but it also does that work of making you think. And I think that's the nexus where hip hop really thrives. You know, it isn't just about moving. It's also about, you know, moving your mind too. And I think that, you know, like I think that we are in this kind of pivot toward that direction more and more, which is exciting. Brittany Carter, I'm very excited about your project, as I am. Where is the best place for people to hear it? And of course, where is the best place for people to stay in tune with all of what you are doing and will do?
Well, the project is available everywhere, but it would be really cool if people would just go to my website or the Loop Theory website. You can purchase it like directly from me, but it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, it's on Tidal, it's pretty much everywhere. And you can follow me on Twitter and IG at underscore Brittany Carter. So that's Brittney.
Great. Carter. And the website is your name?
Yeah, it's Loop Theory, Loop Theory Inc. And it's in all of my bios, so all you have to do is just click and it's right there.
All right, Brittany Carter, it's great to talk with you, and so excited about what you're doing and what you will do. And thanks for spending time in the corner store.
Okay, thank you so much.
Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official corner store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the snack door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the corner store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/cornerstore_pod.
The corner store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.